I haven't been up here in quite a while. And it's because I had some things I needed to work out before I felt I could come back up here. And I had a message written, continuing on, and in my Beatitude series, and all week I'm thinking, I can't do it. I'm just going to stand up here and read it, and all I'm going to do is be reading words. I'm not going to be saying anything that means anything. I'm just going to be reading words. All week long, all I wanted to do was run. I wanted to be done. I wanted to walk away and say, that's it, I've had it. I'm tired of people. I'm tired of dealing with people. I'm done. And I had the privilege of going to Willamette National Cemetery this week with the Patriot Guard and run two missions with them. And I'm standing there with this group of men that some of them are the roughest men you've ever run into. They're crude, they're hard drinkers, they're hard smokers, they're hard talkers. And I'm trying. and I look around these guys. Can you shut the monitor off? I look around at these guys, these hard men. Very few of them are Christians. And I feel more peace and acceptance, loyalty, unity, and compassion from these rough men than I feel when I walk in here. And I'm tired. I go to Oregon State Penitentiary on Thursday nights with Celebrate Recovery. And I'm sitting in a room full of men that are hard men. They've had rough lives. They've had hard lives. Some of the guys that are sitting in there for life. They are never getting out. And yet, I feel more love and compassion and acceptance and peace in that room behind those walls than I feel here when I walk in sometimes. And I'm tired. Friday night, Vicki and I went up to a Celebrate Recovery in Boring, Oregon. We went up there to meet with a guy who wants to start a Celebrate Recovery, but it happened to be their 11th anniversary. And they were having a big party. And the original ministry leaders for that Celebrate Recovery were retiring after 11 years. And they got up and they talked about the spiritual warfare that they went on during the first year that they ran that thing and how tough it was and how they were beat up at every time they turned around. And every member of their team was beat up every time they turned around. And they didn't quit. They couldn't quit because God called them to do that, and they were going to do it. And they fought through it, and they fought through it with prayer, and they fought through it with unity. And they won. They have a thriving and growing Celebrate Recovery there because they didn't quit. So while I'm in, I'm still thinking it's time for me to go, but I hear that. I'm in OSP, second time I've been in there, and a man comes in for the first time that's not supposed to be there. They told him when he signed up for the group that he was number 33 in line and wouldn't be able to go in for a while. They came to his cell, they dragged him out, and they said, you're going to CR tonight. He walked in, introduced himself to me, and he goes, "I was told to look for you. My mentor before I came in here knows you, knows you're coming in here." And he said, "I needed to talk to you." And I get this, and I'm like, "Okay, God, I got it. You're not quitting." So when I say some of the things I'm saying today, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, because I'm talking to me. This is what I have been going through. This is what I have learned about me. But hopefully it says some things to some of you too. I lived in the drug culture for years, and some of you can relate to where I was at. And during that time of my life, everything I did was about me. I didn't care what it did to other people. I didn't care what I had to do to get what I wanted. It was me. Didn't matter who I walked on, who I hurt, as long as it benefited me. You were my friend as long as you had something that did for me. When your money ran out, when your drugs ran out, you were gone. You were replaced with somebody else who had something for me. And sometimes I don't see much difference here. And it kills me. It absolutely kills me. We are supposed to be better than the world. This is a place you're supposed to come to and feel safe and accepted as you are and cared about enough not to be left there. And sometimes I don't see that. I have to ask, how many of you noticed how long it's been since Daisy's been here? Why is she not here? Have we gone to her and asked her, "Why aren't you here?" Or do we just not care? When was the last time you thought about Karen or Arthur, Sean, Melissa, some of the other people that have come and gone? Do we care about them? Or are they just here and gone? How many of you noticed that Joanne isn't here? How many even know who Joanne is? Do you notice when Ryan's gone? Do you notice when Pastor Dave and Pam are gone? It's the selfish. It's how are we that selfish that they're gone, but it don't matter because we're going to press on anyway? Somebody will come here to take their place. If any of these things have touched your heart like it did mine, it's time to take a personal inventory and find out where you've gone astray. And I am just as guilty as any one of you out there of this, because it took me weeks to even notice Daisy wasn't here. And if I made the effort to go talk to her, I know where she works. If I made the effort to go talk to her, no, I haven't. I'm just as guilty as everybody else. I want to read Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to read the whole chapter. This is shortly before Jesus' death. And the disciples are arguing about who's the greatest. "And at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one of these little child, this little child like this in my name, receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell's fire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven, for the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of God is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. I was reading about the one lost sheep. And that whole chapter just jumped up and slapped me up the back of the head. I figure y'all are getting tired of hearing about spiritual warfare and the need for prayer. But as you can probably tell by now, I'm not really caring what about you want to hear. You're going to hear what God has been laying on my heart, whether you like it or not. We're under attack. Many of you, whether you realize it or not, are under attack. He knows our weaknesses, and he goes after them. Vicky and her job, for example. For me, it's having to deal with all the people problems. They're flaring up everywhere. That is my second weakest point next to dealing with Dan Repellent, which are little kids, for those who don't know. I need this place to get back to being where I can walk in and feel peace and know it's a safe place to be. Like when I'm with my veteran brothers at Willamette National, or when I'm in OSP. We need prayer. There's power in prayer. A lot of power in prayer. I'm proof of that. There's two people sitting right here today that never gave up on me. No matter how bad I was, no matter how stupid the things I did, they never gave up. They kept praying, and they kept praying. And if it wasn't for that, I would not be here today. I would be in OSP going to celebrate recovery in blue jeans and a blue shirt. Oh. If anything I've said today has meant anything to you, I'd like you to join me at the altar and just pray. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for each other. Pray to put others ahead of ourselves. Let's pray for lasting change. Let's pray Satan and his demons right out of this place and right out of our lives. And Pastor, when you feel led, just close us in prayer.
Lord Jesus, some of us continue to talk to you and pour out our hearts and ask for your filling. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would meet us now and throughout the week ahead. Point out to us the people that we need to make amends to. It's not always that we did something wrong, that we broke someone's toys or took something that was theirs. Sometimes we didn't even mean to, but we hurt people's feelings. Help us to go the extra step and to ask forgiveness when we didn't even mean to hurt people. Father, I thank you for a message that touches the hearts. Here, much of the church is praying you'd make a difference in their lives, our lives, that you'd make a difference in the church. Lord, bring to mind individuals for each of us to pursue, to bless and encourage and build relationship with. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.